Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend, which is, you know, the unofficial beginning of summer. But more importantly, it's a time where we remember and pay our respects for those who have given their lives in service to our country. So during our prayers, we will take a time to reflect on those people who have impacted our lives so much and guaranteed the freedom that we enjoy in our country. So, out of respect and love and the grace of God, we will take a moment of reflection during the prayers. But it's also Holy Trinity Sunday, which is the day in the church year when we celebrate the mystery and the power and the presence of the Holy Trinity in our lives. So, we'll talk about that a little later. Besides that, the only announcement is we're in summer schedule now for our worship, in-person worship services, 5:30 Saturday night and 9:30 on Sunday morning. You're totally welcome to attend as you feel, you know, able to be here. Let's begin our worship the way that we always do, by sharing the peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace, however it works for you. We continue with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, and the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance in love and peace, let us confess our sin before our God. A moment for silent reflection. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your way. Turn us again to you. Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for the life in this world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, we are fed and we are nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, we are shown God's mercy. We are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Let's sing together our opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father, a glorious all.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue this morning with the readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This reading narrates Isaiah's vision of the Lord surrounded by angels. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy," the song the church sings at the beginning of the Great Thanksgiving. This liturgical text invites the church and all creation to sing in praise of God's glory. That glory is God's mercy towards sinners. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Our responsive psalm is the 29th psalm. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore. O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. In describing the new life of faith, Paul refers to all three persons of the Trinity. The Spirit leads us to recognize that we are children of God, the Father, and joint heirs with Christ the Son. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him.
Our gospel reading this morning is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered Nicodemus, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue our worship this morning with the children's sermon. Do, 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 do. Hey, Lindsay, what you doing? Looks like you're thinking pretty hard here. What's going on?
I know it might not seem like it, but I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on my way to church today, and a weird thought came into my mind about the vehicle that I was driving. You know, I was driving I was thinking, how am I able to drive this? What is it about the car that makes it work? What are the parts? How does it work?
Oh, how does the car work?
Yeah, I mean, I know how to like push the pedal and turn the key and like.
No, it's easy. What happens is we go to the gas station, we put gas into the car, and then we turn it on.
Right, but what about the like spinny things?
And then there are little explosions that drive the pistons, the drive shaft turn.
You'll ask me.
I don't know. I don't know how the car works. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
All right. Well, thank goodness for mechanics, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So help me understand this one. Mm-hmm. I've been able to see some of my favorite young people after not seeing them for so long. It's been awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've magically gotten taller and bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit. And I don't know. How did that happen? How does that happen? How do the children grow from smaller to bigger?
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. So,
okay, I knew you
so,
would know.
So it's easy. So what happens is they take food and they put it into their food hole that's in their face. And then our body takes that food and breaks it down to amino acids, building blocks.
Okay, you lost me again. I just...
You know what?
I
don't know. I don't know. I don't know how kids grow.
All right, well, this is working out very well.
Mm-hmm, sorry.
So it's Holy Trinity Sunday, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But then we're also saying that they're all one.
Right. One God.
Right. In the
three persons.
Parts.
Yeah.
Persons.
Yeah.
And I've never been good at the math, so I don't. How does three become one?
One.
If there's three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really pretty easy, Lindsay. So. The Father is to the Son as the Son is to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to the Father. So they're one in majesty, one in...
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Say.
I don't know. I don't know how God can be three persons in one. I don't know.
Okay, well, what are we going to do? I have to know this. I have to know.
Oh. Wait, you have to know? Listen. So you asked me about a car, how a car works. And I got to tell you, I don't have to know how the car works to drive the car. I can drive the car. I can get from here to there and not understand how it all works. You asked me how kids grow. I don't know, but guess what? I didn't have to know how to grow. I just grew. And our kids, they all just grow up and they get big. Same thing with the Holy Trinity. With God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly how it all works. That's kind of God business, right? That's inside of God. But what I do know is that we experience God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't have to understand how it works to believe in God.
Is it weird that I totally understood that?
I hope not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do like a good mystery,
yes.
And I do think it's quite cool that even though we don't understand it completely,
right,
we are always sure that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always present,
yeah,
and they always love us, right? Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Even when we're driving our cars and growing up in life.
That's right. Even when we don't have all the answers. That's right.
All right. You might not be Bill Nye the Science Guy.
No. No.
You just slayed that. That was great.
All right. Capiche?
Capash.
All right. So how about we end with a word of prayer? You want to do it today?
Yeah, let's pray together.
Okay, here we go.
Dear God, thank you for providing us with this great mystery of your love. We know that you are all together God, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means you've provided a way to be with us all the time in all the ways we need you. Help us to remember that we don't need to understand fully to know that you are fully God who loves us. Thank you so much for this time together. We love you. And all God's children said,
Amen. All right.
Thanks, boss.
Thank you. Good job.
See ya. Later. Hope to see you at church. Come to church.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So let's begin with a mystery this morning, shall we? Since it is Holy Trinity Sunday, a mystery would be a good place to start. In the early 1600s, there was a bit of iconoclastic fervor that accompanied the Reformation movements throughout Germany and England and most of Europe, meaning that people who were anti-Catholic mucked about in the churches, smashing statues, images of saints, art of all kinds, including the stained glass windows. One of the churches that was attacked in this way was Holy Trinity Church in Long Meldford, Suffolk, England. This is the stained glass work that's found above the north door of that church. On the left, you have St. Dominic. On the right, you have St. Peter. And in the middle, you have Mary cradling the crucified Jesus, the Pietà. But if you look very closely, there's this little round window under all that other amazing art. This is a close-up of that itty-bitty round window. It's called the Three Hairs. You can see where the window has been repaired. It has that black diagonal stripe through it. But more interesting than that is the fact that there are three hairs, not rabbits, mind you, because rabbits are smaller and have short ears, and hares are bigger and have long ears, and there are all kinds of other differences. But these are three hairs. So the three hairs, did you notice that there are only three ears among them? Sure, it looks like they each have two ears, but in reality, there are only a total of three ears. They say that this is an image of the Holy Trinity because they are all connected by the ears. In fact, they share that in common, but they are all individual hairs. Three in one, one in three. But that's not the mystery. The mystery is the earliest version of this three hairs motif was found in a Buddhist cave in China. This image is present in every major world religion: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and Buddhism. They all have examples of this art, these three hairs, painted, stained glass, plaster, metalwork. It's been found throughout Asia and Europe, separated by 5,000 miles across the span of 1,000 years. But the mystery is, how in the world could it spread over those locations throughout all that time? It's a complete mystery. What it means to these different groups is also a complete mystery, why we all hold it in common, and why it would be so significant to all these world religions baffles even the smart people who know things. Now this, the three hairs, it is a good and worthy mystery. And hopefully it helps set the mood for us to celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday. Here are a few facts about Holy Trinity Sunday. First of all, it's the only weekend of the entire church year that's based on a doctrine of the church. Instead of being guided by the common lectionary, the scriptures that we have for the weekends, right? It's not a Bible story, per se. In fact, the word Trinity does not, I repeat, it does not appear anywhere in scripture. Nowhere. And in addition, it took the universal church, you know, not separated, divided, denomination-based earthly church that we have now. It took the early church, which was one, almost 400 years to decide about Trinitarian orthodoxy, to get all this straightened out in their minds. It happened at the Council of Nicaea in 325. And of course, the result is the Nicene Creed, which we're going to say in just a little bit. Now, if you would like more confusing details about what the church believes regarding the Holy Trinity, I encourage you, when you go home after church, to look up, either in a hymnal or on the internet, the Athanasian Creed. It is long. It is confusing. But it's what we believe about the Holy Trinity. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot of words. And if there has ever been a case of less being more, in my opinion, we should heed that practice when we talk about the Holy Trinity. Because every time we try to explain how the inside of God works, we end up in some kind of heresy. It's not worth our time to try to define God. It's a trap. because it defies human logic. It is more than we can comprehend or explain or contain in our little tiny human brains. And besides, we can't put God in a box. It's not what we're supposed to do. So maybe we should just do what Brother Elric did. He was a 12th century monk who preached a sermon about the Holy Trinity, and he botched it so badly that as a direct result of that sermon, he took a vow of silence for the whole rest of his life. It's probably a good idea to not talk about things that we don't understand. But as they say, I have the floor today. So I have to say something about this day, this text, and our God. So let's focus on the story of Nicodemus from the gospel lesson. So, Nicodemus. He's an important guy. He's got some impressive credentials that are acknowledged by the gospel writer. He is a Pharisee, which means he is highly educated in the law of God and the politics of the day. He's a smart guy. He knows his stuff. John also states that Nicodemus is a leader of the Jews. See, the Pharisees, they were a little more in touch with the common people of the world. They weren't hobnobbing with the rich or powerful, important people. They were more influential with just the mass of the people. Then later in the lesson, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You are a teacher of Israel." So again, Jesus acknowledges that he's a rabbi, a teacher, a leader. And it seems that he's talking on behalf of all the Pharisees when he comes to Jesus. Now there are about 6,000 Pharisees active during the time of Jesus. That's a big group. I think it would be hard to gather consensus, but Nicodemus acts as though he's speaking for the whole group. He says to Jesus, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." So when I was growing up, whenever I would say "we" to my family, like we were wondering if it would be okay to go swimming down at the lake. Or when I would say to my grandpa, "Hey, grandpa, we were wondering if we could borrow the car for this weekend." My grandpa, Gramps, he would look at me and say, "We? You got a mouse in your pocket?" Meaning, if you're talking for yourself, don't say "we," say "I." Stand up for yourself. Ask your question. Speak for yourself. It seems to me that Nicodemus was actually speaking for himself, but he just needed to not be the central focus of Jesus' attention. He didn't want to ask, he wanted to ask Jesus something, but he didn't want to know him to know that it was coming from him. You know how in today's world, someone asks you a question and they say, "Well, I'm asking for a friend." You know darn well they aren't asking for a friend. They want to know the answer to the question, but they don't want to bear the responsibility of asking you a direct question, so they put it off on someone else. That's the same thing Nicodemus is doing. He says, "We know you're from God. We know you're a teacher. We know that no one can do the miracles that you are doing, the sign, the casting out demons, that you do apart from God." See, that's just not true. He's not speaking for all the Pharisees because they all don't agree with what he just said. Some of the Pharisees thought Jesus was doing the miracles and the signs he performed and casting out the demons by the power of the devil. They said to Jesus, "By the power of Satan, you cast out Satan." But Jesus says, "Oh, pish posh. That's not how it works. A house divided against itself cannot stand." Anyway, I hope you can see it wasn't "we" that Nicodemus was talking about. It was "he." See, Nicodemus believed that Jesus was from God. Nicodemus believed that he was a great teacher. Nicodemus believed that Jesus did miracles by the power of God. He was just afraid to tell Jesus. He was afraid to speak it out loud that he believed. And that's why he came at night. Seriously, this was a shady rendezvous. It happened at night because Nicodemus didn't want anyone else to see that he was taking the time to talk to Jesus. You know, People who have nothing to hide can do their stuff out in the sunlight during the day without any fear of being exposed or being caught. But Nicodemus is hiding. So what does this guy want? Why is he sneaking around talking to Jesus? I mean, he's going against his own people, his tribe, the other Pharisees. By talking to Jesus, he's taking this huge risk by talking to this heretical, itinerant teacher and preacher. And he's afraid. He's afraid of the other people. So he comes at night. But please notice, he's still there, isn't he? He's standing there in the presence of Jesus. And I think it's because something is moving inside of him. Something is stirring him. He's heard and seen Jesus, and something has happened to him. Something is working on his heart. He's starting to believe, and he wants to believe, kind of. And he's hoping against hope that it may be true, that something is here, that this is the Messiah. But if he's going to step up in his belief, he needs to know just a little bit more. And even though I'm sure he has all kinds of questions to ask Jesus, Jesus does not give him that chance. He looks at Nicodemus before he asks any questions and he says, I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, some versions of that text say without being born again. Funny, both are right. Born from above, born again, both are translations of the Greek. For us, that may seem a little bit ambiguous, but it shouldn't be, because both are true. And Jesus and Nicodemus, they go back and forth. And the poor guy, he tries so hard to understand what Jesus is teaching him, but he's trapped. You have to feel sorry for him a little bit, because he just doesn't understand. He needs to understand, and he doesn't. He's trapped between everything he's been taught, his entire religious tradition, and this deep need to comprehend how God works, who God is, versus the actual faith that is required, the openness that is required that allows the Holy Spirit to come and work inside of him. So instead of going through all those interactions, let's get to the bottom line, the takeaway. It has two parts. First of all, being born again, being born from above, now that comes from the Holy Spirit. Did you notice in this interaction with the spiritually hungry man who is willing to do just about anything to gain the kingdom of God, Jesus says, well, guess what? It's not up to you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works just like the wind. It blows wherever it wants to blow. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going, but it works. And you have no choice in this situation. If the Holy Spirit is working on your heart, you know what? Then the best thing to do is just to let go and let the Holy Spirit work on you. Because it does what it wants to do. It works what it wants to work, and it accomplishes whatever God wants to accomplish. So it is with faith for those who believe. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. It is not us. We do not come to Christ on our own. Luther wrote this, I believe that I cannot by my own strength or understanding believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, it's the Holy Spirit who has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with the gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole church of Christ on earth. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second takeaway from this interaction with Nicodemus is that the way things are working, it's been the plan the whole time. Jesus says to Nicodemus, God, you know Nicodemus, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know who his only son is, Nicodemus? Jesus says, me. so that everyone who believes in Jesus may not perish but have eternal life. By the way, speaking of the mysteries and all that, that are completely out of our control, how about that Holy Trinity? Did you notice how all three persons of the Holy Trinity were worked into this teaching of Jesus? The Spirit gives new birth from above. God the Father initiated the plan. Jesus is the one who stands in the middle. He is the connection between God and us. Three persons, one God, one mission, one hope, one life, one people. So, what does this all mean? I don't know. It seems like I identify with Nicodemus. I see myself in Nicodemus. I want to understand, because I think that by understanding, it will somehow make me what? Better, smarter, stronger, closer to God, a more important person? We as people like to be right all the time, but right is not the same thing as righteous, which comes from us from the outside through Christ. So I think this story that John has given us is really a gift. It's a gift, and it's an invitation to let go of our need to control everything. To let go. To not have all the answers. To embrace the mystery of God's nature in its fullness through our experiences with God. To admit that we don't understand how this works. We just don't understand, and that's okay. To trust that there is, in fact, a plan at work that is greater than all of us. And to just open ourselves up to the call. When we feel the Holy Spirit is warming our hearts and drawing us in. To believe that God wants us just as we are. And then to live out that trust in our relationships with each other. To let go of the need to justify ourselves. To let go of the idea that we know everything and everybody else knows nothing. To let go of trying to control other people so that they will think, act, and believe just like us. That's not our job. None of it. And it's out of our control anyway. This is something God has done. This is something that the Holy Spirit is still doing. There is nothing more to do. There's nothing more you can do. So let go. Let go. Because there is no way for us to add anything to the salvation that's been given to us through Christ. So thanks be to God. Seriously. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because not having to control the whole world, not having to earn our salvation, is not up to us. That is such extraordinary good news. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Sunshine.
continue our worship this morning by confessing our faith in our one God and the three persons of God using the Nicene Creed. Together we embrace the mystery. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, what a powerful and gracious gift you have given us on this day, that we don't need to understand the internal workings of our God, that God has made the plan, that God has sent the Holy Spirit, that God has given us you to heal what is broken in our lives and to make us whole. So on this day, we pray, Lord, that you help us to let go of all of our human pride, let go of our need to control, let go of all those things that will get in the way of our faith. Help us just to believe in you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we remember today that your Son, Jesus, said there is no greater gift that a person can give than to give their lives for their friends. Today we remember those people who did that. It's Memorial Day. It's the day, the time that we intentionally stop and say thank you for those people who have given their lives for the sake of our country, for the sake of our well-being. And so, Lord, we take a minute and we raise up all those who have served. We commend all these who have given their lives to your eternal care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray today, Lord, for all those who are in need of strength and healing. We pray for Sharon Wells with her upcoming surgery this next week. We also pray for Patricia Gorko as she has some tests coming up very soon. We ask that in these situations that you guide those who are caring for our people, but we pray to you that you make their bodies strong, that you heal them up, that you work your wonders in them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also celebrate with Carol Gerke at the birth of her grandson, Judah. New life is a sign that you are moving and working in this world. So we ask that you bless Judah and his parents, the whole family. Surround them with your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, finally, in this weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial beginning of summer, we ask that you watch over people as they travel. Keep them safe. Bring them home again after their time away. And protect them as they go out into this world. As we begin to open up everything again, watch over us and protect us in the name of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue with our offering. And again, as we've been saying lately, invite you to use this time as a time of reflecting how God is working in your life and what we all can let go of. Thanks be to God. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. You've revealed your glory as the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be addressed in your eternal glory. And so with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell and every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of the exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son. At the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. And our Lord Jesus, he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask that you take the bread and understand that this is the body of Christ given for you. And I invite you to take the cup. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I'd invite you to receive the communion blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, bread of life, we've received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love this world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We continue with our ascending hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
To the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Let all who hear now to his temple draw near, joining in glad to the Lord, who o'er all things is wondrously reigning, and all on wings of an eagle uplifting, sustaining. Have you not seen all that is needful has been sent by his gracious ordain? To the Lord who will prosper your work and defend you. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend you. Honor anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he be friend.
Go in peace. We are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.